this country. And remember, Musk isn't a disinterested party here. As we've talked about, he has many federal contracts himself, billions of dollars this year alone to his companies, SpaceX, Tesla, and X, formerly known as Twitter. But he also is interested in cutting this funding for a very personal reason, which is he is interested in paying for the tax cuts that Congress is teeing up this year. They're estimating $5 trillion in tax cuts, mostly going to the wealthy and corporations. And Doge is the entity that is supposedly going to find the money, find the savings to pay for those tax cuts. So I think we can sum it up this way. Elon Musk is going to pay for his tax cut with your Social Security. That's really what we're looking at here. That's what Doge is up to.
Lindsay Owens, we're going to have to leave it there. And I just want to give Waleed the last word. 10 seconds. What should people do right now?
People should go to indivisible.org and visit their Senate office and demand an investigation of Elon Musk. And that Senate business should come to a halt.
We want to thank Waleed Shaheed, Democratic strategist. We'll link to his piece, Elon Musk is staging a coup. And Lindsay Owens, thanks for joining us from Groundwork Collaborative. In your piece, there are several reasons Musk wants to control Treasury payments. None of them are good, she writes. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Fighting for survival is such a boring battle. Wanna get into my car, wanna drive out to Seattle.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Hola, soy Ruth Parra y te invitamos que nos sintonices cada martes en Tonali de 2:30 to 4:00 p.m.
Soy Brenda Escobar y les traeremos entrevistas relevantes de nuestra comunidad.
Soy Victoria Hernández y junto a Edith Molina estaremos analizando nuestro próximo tema.
Nos puede sintonizar en kboo.fm.
O pueden encontrarnos en Facebook, buscando Radio Tonali.
Nuestro correo electrónico es kbootonali@yahoo.com.
Good morning. I'm John Risley. I'm one of the hosts here on the KVU Morning Folk Strip. Many listeners might know that Diane Carl, the host of Early Morning Gumbo on Tuesday for many years, sadly passed away in December. Thus, KVU is currently seeking new folk music programmers to fill in on Tuesday mornings. Prior radio experience is not required. KBOO can provide all necessary training. However, a knowledge and appreciation of folk music would be essential. You would need to host at least one show per month. Shows can be broadcast live at the station or pre-recorded at home. To learn more about this opportunity, please go to the KBOO website, kboo.fm/volunteer. Once again, that's kboo.fm/volunteer. Women and persons of color are encouraged to apply. Thank you.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis. And via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, the 3rd of February, 2025. I am Cecil Prescott, and thank you for joining us this morning. Let me remind you that our Phone numbers to call in are 503-231-8187. Well, thank you so much for spending some time and listening and hopefully participating in many ways as we seek to get information out and organize our communities. Last week, we had an interesting conversation, and I want to perhaps add an add-on to that conversation by saying that I received a letter this week from a listener, Paul, who recommended reading a book by Catherine Hayhoe, H-A-Y-H-O-E. And the book is Saving Us, A Climate Case for Hope and Healing in a Divided World. So thank you, Paul, for that recommendation. And hopefully listeners can read it and understand a little bit more about what we can do to make changes in our world, to create a better world. Now, if some of you were listening, as I were, to the news before this broadcast, Democracy Now!, which airs on KBOO in the morning and in the afternoon, it was the more information about what is happening with the federal government, how they orchestrated move to, I think, dismantle the federal government. And as we ever, I was going to say slowly, but no, it seems like quickly moving into a new reality, and in terms of fascism and how we ought what we ought to do. One of the things I heard at this on the newscast as it near the end was the observation that the National Democratic Party isn't operating as an oppositional party. It's operating as if all things are normal and these are the way things are always supposed to be, an ordinary transition to a new government, and the brass taking over of government and the cruel, harsh, and damaging ways that the new federal administration is coming in, and the danger that it causes not only to those of us here in the United States, but certainly worldwide, the potential tariffs on our allies. I did receive a notification just now that the Mexican president and the Trump administration has agreed to a one-month delay of stiff tariffs that was set to take office on Tuesday. So we'll see what will happen. But this is also, and I want to add one other thing. I'll add more, a little bit more. But I want to just thank you all for listening and for being a part of this community. I think one thing that we are learning and that we will be forced to observe and participate in is that we have to create and draw strength from our community and be able to, in order to confront this slide into fascism in this country. What can we do? Somewhat related to that, I had the opportunity yesterday to go and listen to a presentation by Mr. Kent Ford. Those of you who do not know who Mr. Kent Ford is, Mr. Kent Ford was a founding members of Portland Black Panthers in the late 1960s, in the 1970s. And they did a lot of work in terms of health care, in terms of a breakfast program, as well as in terms of confronting the police state and the abuse of power. It was sponsored by the Vanport Mosaic. And among the points that that came out of that gathering yesterday, you know, lots of people gathered in the room to listen to Mr. Ford and hear the stories about how the Panthers organized, the things they encountered, the challenges they encountered, and how they managed to pull through. Those of you who might be familiar or live through those era are familiar with how the United States government did everything it could to destroy the freedom movements that blossomed in the 1960s and 1970s, you know, the Panthers and other activist organizations, SDS, and you can go down the list, and how they sought to destroy these movements for liberation, these community organizations that were doing tremendous amount of not only organizing but transformation and education in neighborhoods in communities. Well, one thing I observed from that conversation yesterday was that we need to continue to draw strength and wisdom from the elders and the ancestors. Certainly, they've been through difficult times and managed to pull through. The continued attempt by the government to destroy these independent grassroots organizations and the ability of the people just to press through is indeed inspiring, and also a way in which we can observe about what can we learn from them. Certainly, each era is different from preceding eras, and I think it's a disservice to past movements and the era we are in by trying to compare them. But I do think that there is a possibility to learn and to gain wisdom and insight from the movements that went on before us and other movements that are happening now. Again, another thing that I took from that gathering yesterday was the need to continue to interact with people and not so much via social media. Certainly, if we were not aware of the danger of these tech companies, tech executives who suddenly are in Washington and actually seeking to take over in many ways in terms of information, access to information. These are all things that continues to trouble us and things which we need to find out how to resolve. And certainly one thing that we can do is learn from the wisdom from the elders and the ancestors and draw on the strength and wisdom. So among the things that came out of that meeting was that we need to you know, in-person gatherings with people you can trust. And then widening the circles is a way in which to counter what's going on in our world today, because it's one thing to sit back and to read and to take care of yourself, but certainly we need to take action. In addition to going to that presentation by Kent Ford and hearing about the history of the Portland Black Panthers, I had the opportunity to read again, maybe for the first time, Martin Luther King's last book that he wrote, that he it was published, actually, I think, believe it was published at the time of his assassination, or certainly right after the assassination. And it is prescient because it was written in the 1966-67, but it's as if he was speaking today. So his last book was is entitled "Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community?" And in that book, Dr. King reflects on who we are and what type of world we are creating. And as we know, towards the end of his life, suddenly he began observing and writing about the system and how it continues to weave and press down on people, and how people need to unite and find ways to oppose this destructive society. One of the things Dr. King said, and I quote, let us not think of our movement as one that seeks to integrate the Negro into all the existing values of American society. Let us be those creative dissenters who will call our beloved nation to a higher destiny, to a new plateau of compassion, to a more noble expression of humanness. Let me read that one more time, and let us think of that, because I think it's a call to all of us. So Dr. King said, let us not think of our movement as one that seeks to integrate the Negro into the existing values of American society. Let us be those creative dissenters who will call our beloved nation to a higher destiny, to a new plateau of compassion, to a more noble expression of humanness. So those are things that Dr. King said, and it's a call to all of us to be indeed creative dissenters. We are living in a new era, strange times, interesting times. So how can we become creative dissenters? What are things we might do? There are several responses I've encountered in the 8 weeks or so since the election. One is a response of, I am depressed. Things are terrible. Things are getting worse. What can we do? Is there anything we can do? That's one response. And it is where many people are feeling pressed down, overwhelmed, unable to move, and unable to take action. A second response is, I am depressed. It's the same old, same old. Well, let's do what we have to do. Two responses. One is, I'm depressed. Things are terrible. Things are going to get worse. And almost throwing up your hands. Second response is, I'm depressed, but this is the same old, same old. Let's do what we have to do.
One, depression that leads to inaction. And one is depression that, if not leading to action, does not prevent one from doing what ones need to do. So then, for you, our listeners, what advice, what wisdom do we gain from our elders or ancestors? What have we learned from them as we seek to understand the reality we are living in today? Where do we go from here? More as important, it's not only the lessons, but my question to you, what relationships do you have with people across different generations, racial groups, economic classes? What relations do we have with those? What advice can we gain from elders? So, give us a call. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. A couple of questions. What advice can we gain from elders or ancestors? What things have we learned from them? I spoke of opportunity to hear Mr. Kent Ford and what he had to say. And second question, what type of relationships do you have with people across differences, across generations, different racial groups, economic classes? So give us a call, 503-231-8187, and let's hear from you. Let's go to our first caller, Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Cecil, I'm dangerously well. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
I hope you're well, too. Thank you for this program, and thanks for taking my call. I am astonished that things since 1966 have changed so very, very little. Dr. King was speaking about militarism and materialism, and these two things bedevil us to this day, not just at the highest levels, but at the very at the street level, mm-hmm. where we live. Materialism is eating out our substance. I see it every day. And the issue with materialism is now it has been placed on a high altar, so that those who are materialists, Bezos, Musk come to mind, are worshipped for their materialism. My goodness, have you seen how much they have? And I believe somehow we say to ourselves that that is the highest calling, mm-hmm. that perhaps I can get as much as I can possibly get. And the national motto ever since and all this time has been, and I quote, "What can I get away with?"
Mm-hmm.
And this is troubling. This is yes. troubling to the soul of the nation and of its people. And I hasten to add, and I hope you'll permit me, Cecil, that I live off Williams Avenue in North Portland. And the fact of the matter is that the black churches are not blameless in the materialistic land grab of gentrification. They have, over the years, amassed a certain amount of real estate because the black churches knew, as all churches do, that the money can be locked in to land. Mm-hmm. And over time, because of the slow but steady diminishment and dwindling of its members, of every mainline church, white or black, or of any creed or color, the churches have found that their handbaskets are a little lighter each week than usual, and that their parishioners are slowly but certainly dying off. So what do? They sell their seed corn, their treasure that is locked into real estate, and sure enough, here they come, the materialists, and they build these giant gentrification communication towers on land that was purchased from churches who knew where the money was locked in.
Well, let me ask you, need to go to another caller afterwards, but I want to get some more of your wisdom and your insight. You mentioned, you know, that living in North Portland, and as you just so accurately said, you know, the membership in many of the churches have decreased, and churches have sold their property, and gentrification, and you know, those big buildings are established. What could they have done to prevent that?
That is, by the way, a very valid question. And if I may, I have no wisdom. I have only BS.
Okay. You said it, not I.
Often the two are equated, justifiably or not. What could they have done? Well, they could have kept a good deal of that land, and they could have preached a better gospel. Okay. One that does not simply gather on Sunday to, you know, to go woohoo, but one that activates itself and is active in every single moment of the day. And they succumbed to materialism, and that's all. I'm not saying anything in particular. I'm not pointing fingers and blaming. I am simply examining what has come before us.
All right.
And I thank you very much for accepting my telephone call.
Thank you so much for calling. And thank you for sharing, Jeff. Have a great day. Thank you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. That was Jeff, who shared some of his insight in terms of what has happened and some observation about materialism and how we have contributed to the materialism. Particularly, he had some observation about the gentrification and what was done in North Portland, what could have prevented. Let's go to our next caller, Janet, who's been waiting. Good morning, Janet. How are you this morning?
Oh, it's beautiful up here, up the mountain.
Oh, great.
Good. And my great-grandson's doing fine. I appreciate trying to get together to do a little soul-searching with you, mm-hmm. not to just put more in the BS grinder. Because what I've been thinking about, what can I do on the local level here
yes.
with all of these Airbnbs and all this kind of thing, that I'm able to start a little kind of a little kibbutz here of the people that need a place to live, that it's not a third world republic, that the young people that work up in the mountains, and I've got two of them that I give a little place to at a so to a reasonable let's work together and shore up our lives together. But in the form of soul searching, I've been doing a little shadow work along the lines of Carl Jung. We thinking about to find some balance in our lives, and thinking he's talking about intuition and sensation and thinking and feeling, all that kind of thing. In Buddhism, the qualities of true self and eternity and happiness and purity. When I was working with the middle school kids, one of the little girls, I mean, thought she was wiser than me. When I gave the story, they kind of give some prompt stories about different things that the kids could write stories, extending the story about the snow mountain chain. And they would, she would say, well, say, purity is happiness. So I think when we can look within ourselves and strip down some of the tarnish from the mirror, that we're not empty inside, and looking outside of ourselves to the extent where our whole society has become so narcissistic, that I would be thinking that if we could strip down the impurities in the way that we're our behavior is kind of complicit with that we don't want to really be putting into to throw a black thing into the consciousness when Jung is talking about the great mass consciousness.
Yes.
Just the way that we're extending ourselves in this very moment is a very mystical experience, that you've opened up the airwaves And then I can weigh in, and somehow someone could say, was that you, Janet? Damn it. Is your grandson okay? And I could say, he's fine. Yes. And I'm working on trying to share what I have spiritually, materially, and not just be glomming on to the dog-eat-dog kind of consciousness that you were saying, like, to raise our consciousness up. When you talk about what's the nine, the Beatles are saying the nine is the revolution, you know?
Right.
The 999, the ninth consciousness is higher up. Like, it's thinking, if I'm going to put out my mantra of, like, Tina Turner and Herbie Hancock and throw that way, way out into the universe where we're rising up with Brahma and chakra, and we're not going to go down to where the alligators are steaming okay. below trying to usurp everything.
Right. Hey, well, Janet, thank you so much for calling your observation. You know, I want to thank you, your observation about, you know, how our society has become, you know, narcissistic, and how we should be aware of that, and also how you continue to work and participate in terms of mutual aid in your community. Appreciate it so much.
Mm-hmm. The most important thing is to raise their banner for the young people.
Yes.
People are hanging in there. Like, how I think it's difficult after you have a child, you know, and then you kind of feel a little let down sometimes. It's anticlimactic. Just think about the people that marched into Gaza, and they're so excited and trying to, thinking if they can, like, still be hopeful, that we have to really help young people find a place where they can believe in themselves and really pay it forward, like Groundhog Day. Thanks for everything, Diesel.
Okay, thank you, Janet, so much. And it's a reminder about how we can build and support one another. You're listening to More Talk Radio, and let's go to speak with Cody. Cody, how are you?
Hello, Cody, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, Cody, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, it's been a while. All I can say is that one word, because I've had this conversation with older people before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of that one word is boiled down to mediocrity. And then the question went from, well, why mediocrity? Because people who aren't mediocre, or people who focus on substance, don't make very good consumers. And there were some other instances that I had to learn in history books that my grandparents didn't want to tell me, because it was that painful for them. And I personally think they did me a great disservice, because I'm coming out of the 1970s generation, growing up with Star Trek and having these puppy dog tails in my head. Mm. Not really sugar and spices.
Mm.
And not really understanding that we haven't made it to the point to where humanity could, like, especially in our American society. My grandmother, for instance, taught me how to make turpentine from the ashes the ashes of pine wood.
Right.
And from needles. If these kids today had to know how to make turpentine for everything, they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And we could stop the mediocrity if the old people weren't so afraid of the young people.
Hmm.
And this is where other entities comes into play to control the minds of the next generation to such a point. The old folks are too afraid to engage them.
Why are they afraid to engage them?
Well, in a way, society, when human beings start to embrace mediocrity,
mm-hmm.
we start to lose a very significant amount of our humanity.
Yes.
And the last thing any human wants to do is deal with another feral human. I don't know what's more dangerous, a feral human being or a wild tiger. And this is how these old people, they're standoffish, they're not open. Or if they're in the family members, if you're in the black community, they'll remember how hard it was, and it's like, man, these kids got it easy, and I might be a little jealous. And then everything in our society is based off of covetousness anyway. So now we got the kids competing with the kids on buying cars they really don't can't afford and don't need. Well, you know, the really expensive cars.
So how? So, what do you think we can do, or families can do, to promote communications, or you know, cross generations? I don't think that grandparents, well, maybe, are grandparents afraid of their grandchildren? Do they have those type of conversations? Is that maybe a way to begin? Maybe I'm don't want to talk to that young man down the street, but certainly, you know, the person called me Papa, I can have a conversation with.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that now you're talking about an intergenerational thing. The generation I grew up wasn't afraid of the kids when I was coming up.
Right.
But as time going on and certain entities are making, especially the Americans, a little bit more feral, a little bit more desperate. You know, they got this new word called finesse. I don't like the word finesse. I like the word scam. And as a result, people have to, like, be careful of that confidence scheme as they're engaging people.
Sure.
And it's like, what do you want from me? What is it? Instead of saying, you know, let me just go ahead and drop this knowledge, and they could put it on the bookshelf.
Right.
And something will happen to where they say, you know, that old cat told me about something, and I told him, oh, go somewhere, you old man.
And you know, that
actually happened.
Right. Well, I think that's such a good suggestion and good point, because certainly we don't pick up on the wisdom until maybe later. And I cannot tell you how often I, you know, daily think of those who I, you know, I didn't give much more than a second thought. I said, oh my gosh, what they said? Boy, they were wise. I wish I could talk to them now. That's an opportunity missed, but also something we can gain. So I appreciate you what you're saying, Cody, and the challenge that you offer to all of us.
Okay.
Hey, well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks Bye-bye. So much. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. We're talking about, several things about how do people respond to the fascism that is descending upon this country? What advice can we give to one another? Is there wisdom from elders? I began by talking about a presentation from Mr. Kent Ford I attended, where he was talking about the organizing that the Portland Black Panthers did here in Portland in the 1970s and how inspiring and also the wisdom that came from there. So are there things we can do? Let's hear the wisdom from Edie. Edie, good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Oh, Cecil, you are a gift to the community. The reason I'm calling is I'm wanting to pass on the wisdom kind of happening to the old folks. Mm-hmm. We want to, we've got something to contribute in case people go through the hard stuff we did because no one told them.
Yeah.
I think we need to know that we're all interconnected and that the mess of being an individual, making it on your own, is destructive and disappointing. If we know we're all interconnected and we know the ways in which evil, whether you consider it the carnal mind, the death talker, the snake, the monkey mind, or whatever, it always tries to have us feel separated from the good that we need and that we are, and separated from the good that others are, and separated from nature, and separated from the deeper spiritual laws, and separated so that we then feel like we have that we're scared or helpless or inadequate and that we're confused, and then it tries to divide and conquer us. Mm. Whether that's an abuser or a corporation or a dictator or the military, you know, corporate profiteers, or just that impersonal thought that comes to mind and makes us think it's our thinking when it's not. Mm. So we counter that by knowing we are adequate, we are whole and complete, we do have what we need. We can look, see, feel, hear the answers that are there for us. Mm-hmm. We can trust that good. We can be honest and accountable for our own thinking and behavior and relationships and be the change that we want. If we're seeing people being greedy and contemptuous and dishonest, then that means that we need to be grateful and principled and generous and kind, you know, that we've got the answers. And we need to work together, different generations, class, culture, lifestyle, background, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, because really it's all of us that we see and hear in person who are going to be smashed down with fascism, racism, climate change, the crashing capitalism. So yes. We need to work together. And there's been no movement that I know of in history that has improved things with just one generation or small group.
Yes.
People may have only seen the youth at the lunch counters, but it was all the generations working together, using their different strengths, using their different wisdom and experience. And it is, as a man of faith, you dearly know that we need to look beyond the superficial surface to what is really substantial, what's really reliable, what's really going on. And so taking a break, if you make your little cell phone or watch, you know, go ding or something on the hour to remind you, hey, take a break. Look up from the screen or whatever and breathe deeply, smell, see, feel nature, or, you know, something around you. Mm-hmm. Be grounded in the here and now with gratitude, looking for good that you see here. That's going to make it easier to be calm and clear thinking and aware of opportunities and answers, or aware of danger and how to be safe. It's going to help us be aware of the humanity of the person who's helping pump the gas or drive the bus or mm-hmm. hand out the food or something.
Yes.
It's going to help us find ways in which we can grow food locally, that we can make things, we can learn homesteading or practical skills. We can get rid of junk we don't need and give it to those, you know, Sundays at 1 o'clock at the end of the West End of Ross Island Bridge, or Thursdays at the free stores, or, you know, Fridays at the free store, or Buckman Community Center, Saturday and Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to help distribute organic vegan food or our leftovers from our pantry that we don't need that others can use.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way of mending those old clothes or getting a lot of stuff on the side of the road, picking them up, washing them a few times, mending them, and distributing to those who are forced to live outside. It is ways in which we fulfill our inner joy and life using our talents to do good, be good, see the good, and celebrate the good.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Edie. Those I've been trying to type everything you wrote down, so I appreciate what you said and the wisdom that you've shared. Thank you. Have a great day. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Last caller, Edie, was sharing, reminding us that we are interconnected, to abandon the myth of independence. And among the things is to know that we are whole and complete as we are. We can be honest and accountable. We can be the change that we want, to be generous. So let's lean into who we want to be instead of who we don't want to be, of the way things are. We can be the change we want. Let's go to our next caller. Tangent has been waiting. And hello, Are you there?
Peace to you, yes.
Yes.
Brother Cecil, just on this interconnected bit, I had met a Rasta brother at a rainbow gathering one time, and he just said this at one point, I'm outside in the garage, so this will hopefully not happen too often. Okay, he said, it's not independence, it's interdependence.
Hmm.
We're all interdependent on somebody else or on each other in a way, okay. But I wanted to start out with, I think we need to reinvent the wheel, W-E-apostrophe-L-L. We will runs with free will.
Oh, okay, I got you. Okay.
I'm
a bit slow, but I caught up. Okay,
yeah, it's all right. And then I am looking at this bamboo scroll, oriental bamboo scroll that hangs in my garage door, and it says this. It says advice. I like to put an S in there and make it advise. But it says, is like snow. The softer it falls, the longer it dwells upon, and the deeper it sinks into the mind. So that's that bit. And I have this little story I found, and I've been wanting to tell this for like years, but I think it's really apropos now. I was squatting in a house way out in Southeast Powell, 40, 50 years ago. But when I moved this room, I took a room, and in the closet, there was nothing in the room except a note. And on it, it said this. And it wasn't signed, so it's anonymous, some of the best. Okay, but it says this. The young newlyweds were getting ready to celebrate the nuptials of the evening, and the groom takes off his pants and says, "Here, put these on." She goes, "I can't fit into your panties. They're much too big for me." He goes, "That's right, and don't you forget it." And then she gingerly slips off her panties and throws them in his lap and says, "Put these on." He goes, "I'm going to put Mr. Trump in the category of the man with supposedly the big pants."
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Huh?
I'd say thank you. That's a lot to take in.
One more, real quick.
We have a couple more.
Generation gap. I want to dispel the generation gap, please.
We have a couple of callers behind you.
I know we do, but just 30 seconds, I promise.
30 seconds?
Less than. Bob Marley had a song, "We're Making the One Stop the Generation Gap." Now, we've heard of Cumberland Gaps and many others, but I've never heard of a generation gap. He's trying to stop this talk about generation gaps. That was invented in the 60s because young people were against the war, and it took the silent majority a little longer, but ever since then, it's just been like
10 seconds.
Even like
thank
the
you.
War of the sexes, okay? Battle of the sexes, okay.
Hey, thank you so much, Danjan. I have to move on. I appreciate your call and for you reminding us that we are interdependent. Let's go to Francis. Francis has been waiting. Francis,
hi.
Good morning.
I haven't talked with you for a while.
No.
Music always helps me get through this. The one song in the world that applies to everything is Earth, Wind, and Fire, The Way of the World. And whenever I listen to that, I get a little bit happier.
Okay.
But it kind of tickled me when I hear this conversation about young people communicating with elders, and I don't see the big gap that your last caller just mentioned. The young people I know are very kind of, they seem really annoyed by all the isms that are going on. They don't live it and they don't see it. It annoys them. And I'm in my mid-70s, and I know people from 2 to 90, and everyone, my daughter has she says LWL, which means lead with love. And if you do that, seriously do that, and look people in the eye and be kind to each other, it does make a difference.
Wow.
I think right now everybody needs to call their Congress people and tell them not to approve those people that are up for the head of the FBI and the AG. Otherwise, this man, the free reign that he's already given himself, will be even more serious.
Yeah.
And I do not appreciate that the richest man in the world has access to my Social Security records. That is ridiculous. And I want our Congress people, I don't know what they're intimidated by, but there has to be at least 10 or 11 Republicans who will not allow this to continue, because they're breaking the law, they're violating the Constitution, left and right, and the media is acting like there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that. But I do have one of my heroes back in the day was Adam Clayton Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a quote from him that carries me through.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's, "Keep the faith, baby.
Keep the faith, baby." I remember that.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Take care, Francis. And yeah. Let's keep the faith, baby. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. And let's go to Lou. Good
morning.
Good morning, Lou. I was hoping to hear from you this morning.
So. Well, it sounds like you picked intergenerational elders and younger people working together, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we had, I probably mentioned before at Portland State, we had Kent Ford come and talk a mm-hmm. while back. And I believe he's about 85, but he mm-hmm. talked about Black Panthers and mm-hmm. was a great speaker. He talked for about an hour. And as someone who used to work with SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, as a VISTA in Macon, Georgia, I thought based on what callers have been talking on, I try to touch on three quick things.
Mm-hmm.
It always helps to pay attention to what's going on locally. I think the last caller mentioned people can weigh in and maybe phone up some of the Republican people to not approve people that Trump's nominating. I specifically saw a really great talk, a short one, by Maxine Dexter, who's the new congressperson from Oregon, to people actively opposed the nomination of RFK Jr. for HHS secretary, being a vaccine denier and many other things. So I thought it was a good specific mm-hmm. target. The Democrats will stick together, but there needs to be four or five Republican senators to block RFK Jr. getting in. Mm-hmm. Another example of local issues, somewhat related, Angelita Murillo is probably the best 28-year-old new city council member in Portland, and she just came out with a thing criticizing a vote in Congress by Janelle Bynum, who's the first African-American member of the Oregon delegation. But this is about a bill that a few Democrats, including Janelle, voted for,
right,
which is to further limit immigration.
Yeah.
And I thought Angelita's critique of that was really helpful and good based on things that Mark Knudsen at Augustana Lutheran, Maxine Dexter, and Jeff Merkley talked about recently on immigration and protecting our communities. Mm-hmm. The third point I'd mention, I'm trying to be fairly specific. It's great that you had philosophical questions. Thought Edie's comments were really useful.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things we're evaluating for targets at Portland State, specifically on fossil fuels and global warming, we've had presentations on a couple different possible targets. One for a long time in Portland, Edie and others have worked on, is Zenith and mm-hmm. Stopping Zenith in its tracks.
Yes.
There's a hearing tomorrow at City Council to try to do that, so that's really important to help on. Not everybody is up on Zenith, even say kind of think of themselves keeping track of national stuff. I talked to a minister from a UCC church yesterday, and she said, "What's Zenith? Isn't that a TV manufacturing?" No, it's an anti-pollution, protect your community target, an environmental target.
Yeah.
Another group I've heard do a presentation on the same issue about fossil fuels and dangerous pollution is a group that's nationally apparently targeting Citibank and Costco. And when they presented our question about that, was Costco's doing some good things, like defending DEI against the Trump administration. So they could both be targets that would be worthwhile, but it always helps to have local targets against corporations,
right,
to try to keep track of things that Adam Clayton Powell and Kent Ford and Dr. King all talked about. So I don't know if you have a thought or a question on that. You might have other callers.
Yeah, I, briefly, why I was anxious to talk with you, and you shared some very good thoughts this morning, was in terms of intergenerational organizing and gathering. We heard one caller in particular, I'm not sure whether you heard it, who mentioned that they thought that older people were intimidated by young people. And I wonder if you have anything to say about, you know, how do people have conversations across generations?
Sure. Well, two examples. We did the Portland Grey Panthers did a forum, and we're doing the second annual one coming up on Valentine's Day in the Portland building. Mm. And we had Asia Savage, who's 28, talked on gun reform. Her mom and her brother have been killed by gun violence in Portland. She's a black gun reform organizer. So that was a younger person. Mm-hmm. We also had Murph, who is at that point a 17-year-old student body president at Lincoln High School, also a black organizer, who talked about gun reform. Mm-hmm. The recent example this last week, I talked with two groups. One was a small group of five white elders who might reflect the comment your caller made about being intimidated by younger people. And then I also happened to run into five students who are sophomores who are 15 years old at Portland State who are from Jesuit High School. And they're preparing their arguments at a contest at PSU on the weekend about ethics, boycotts, government elections, those sorts of things. And they let me listen, and they asked a couple questions, but I wasn't telling them what to do at all. But I thought they were doing a great job, and they were hoping to win their contest. So I think that there's a tendency for both. I know that when I presented and attempted to present to the elders, white folks on 82nd Avenue at their meeting, it was at CORE, C-O-R-E, they were pretty like, we don't really want to listen to this three-minute thing that has voices from the past or younger voices. So perhaps, indeed, they might have been intimidated by younger people.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple examples that come to mind to try to answer that question.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate it much. Thank you. And an observation. I appreciate that call, Lou, and showing us how to think and be aware of what's happening locally and ways in which people can engage across generations. One thing that that occurred to me, which Lou mentioned something about DEI, and I saw something this weekend, you know, DEI is the new N-word. So it's the person suggested that people, you know, whenever you hear people say, oh, I don't want DEI, I'm against DEI hire. And the president did an awful thing this weekend around that and the tragedy of the airline. Tragedy. But what I saw was someone said, well, when force them to say it out. So when they say, I'm against DEI, let them say the whole phrase out. It sounds different. So when they say, I'm against DEI, let them say, so you are against diversity, equity, and inclusion. And see what their response is. But, you know, that could be a conversation starter, actually. What is it that you are against? Diversity, equity, and inclusion? Well, we probably can extend that conversation later, but I wanted to share a couple of things before we go off the air. And that was just a reminder of who we are and where do we go from here. Word in Black and Keith Boykin have collaborated and come up with 10 action steps for the next 4 years. And it's go to wordinblack.com to find it. But these action steps are, you know, might be helpful, may not be. But here they are. One, stay informed but not overwhelmed. We cannot tune out and sleepwalk into fascism, but neither can we allow ourselves to become depressed by the enormity of the challenge. So don't try to do everything. Start by following your expertise and interests.
Focus on issues important to you and protect your peace by stepping back from all the trees in front of you so you can see the larger forest. 2, share truthful, factual information with friends, family, and followers. 3, raise your voice to elected officials. I know it's old-fashioned, but, you know, go visit them in their offices. 4, run for office. Yes, you too can be a candidate for office. Go to court. If you're an attorney, practice an attorney, you know what this is all about. And even if you're a government worker or contractor, you know, call a lawyer and sue for your rights. 6, reward the good. You know, there are good companies who continue to include diversity, equity, and inclusion as part of who they are. You know, support those. Punish the bad. You know who they are. Don't go. And say you want to support minority-owned businesses, go to them directly. You don't have to go to these big box stores. And 8, create a conscious culture. 9, organize for the short term. And 10, plan for the long game. Hey, we're running out of time, but we have to plan for the long game. I'm Cecil Prescott. You've been listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. I will see you next time. Take care of yourself and your community.
You are tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification.